The title of today's sermon is Learn to Crave True Wisdom. This is number 14 in a series in the book of Proverbs. Another title that you might add that would be a little bit explanatory would be How to Make the Right Decision. And today I have a special treat. We have a third possible title, and it would be Hear the Plain Truth. And I say that tongue-in-cheek about it being a third title, but we will see that as we go through the scriptures today. Our scripture for today will be Proverbs 8. You can put your marker there. We'll be continually turning back to Proverbs 8. And brethren, I feel very strongly about this subject. I think this has the root of true Christianity in it. And we'll be talking today about attaining wisdom through righteousness. And put this in your notes. I've turned there many, many times. It's Psalm 111 and verse 10. It's the verse, the scripture that says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." In other words, a reverence for God, an abiding respect of the things of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's where you start at. A good understanding have they who do His commandments. If we do not keep the commandments of God, we will never get to first base when it comes to knowledge, understanding, and the wisdom of God. Some people try to bluff their way through life, but carnality is not going to work. There are no shortcuts. It's a matter of keeping God's law, living it. Then we come to understand. Then we grow in wisdom. Brethren, one of the biggest problems in the world today is the near total lack of the use of wisdom when it comes to making decisions. It seems like from politicians in office down to everybody in the workplace, decisions are made not using the wisdom of God or the truth of God, but they're based on the wrong things. In fact, people make major life decisions based on the wrong premise. They don't ask themselves the right question. Why am I doing this? What's the right answer? Let me give you a definition of wisdom, brethren. Wisdom is the insight and the character to apply knowledge and understanding in our lives. That's God's knowledge and God's understanding. You know, understanding is the interpretation and the discernment of facts. Facts is just the gathering the knowledge. Over in Proverbs 1 in verse 7, there's a scripture that's very similar to the one we looked at in Psalms. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that's the state of the world. The world despises wisdom and instruction. And as a result, they make the wrong decisions, and they end up on the wrong path, and they end up, they're headed in the way that they didn't intend to go. There's another one very similar in Proverbs 15 and verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. That's because pride wars against honor. Humility, and this is just a brief definition, humility is doing things God's way. Humility is understanding and admitting to ourselves, I don't have all the answers. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, another verse that talks about wisdom with respect to God. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now let's go over to Proverbs 8, and we'll go through today's text. I am going to read it today from the Sansino translation that I often work in. You can follow along in your King James or whatever translation you're using, Proverbs 8 and verse 1. We'll read through the section that we're going to cover, as our custom is, and then we'll come back and we'll take these verses apart, look at the meanings, and try to gather what God is giving us in these scriptures. Proverbs 8, verse 1. Doth not wisdom call, and understanding put forth her voice? In the top of the high places, by the way, where the paths meet, she stands. Beside the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors, she cries aloud. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you thoughtless, understand prudence, and you fools, be you of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing perverse or crooked in them. They are all plain to him that understands, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things desirable are not to be compared to her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of devices. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me earnestly shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yes, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my produce than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and that I may fill for their treasuries. Okay, brethren, that's rather difficult reading and rather difficult to understand, but what I'd like to do is go through these verses one by one, take them apart, try to put them into plain English, understand what it is that God is saying to us. These scriptures are inspired by God, but they were inspired in the original translation. Our language, our culture, our understanding change. It makes it difficult for us to grasp what's being said sometimes. Now, are you familiar with the concept of wisdom being personified? We saw quite a bit of that when we read just now. It's as though wisdom itself is speaking out. It says, I and me, wisdom personified. But we see wisdom extolled by Solomon. Let's begin in Proverbs 8 and verse 1, and let's look at some of the words, and let's take it apart and stop and dissect it and understand what's being said. Doth not wisdom cry out, and understanding put forth her voice? Well, put forth is lift up. So it says wisdom lifts up her voice. What this is saying to us, brethren, is that wisdom is available. Now, not many people are making use of it. They're not availing themselves of wisdom, but it is available. Doth not wisdom cry out? Yes, it does. It's there for us. It's there for the getting, brethren. The world needs wisdom. You know, that's evidenced by so much of everything in the world going wrong. Look around at the starvation. Look at the wars. Look at all the trouble in the world. Yet, this world is not crying out for wisdom, but we in God's church, it's available to us. We can have godly wisdom. We don't have to make the mistakes that the world makes. This is an instruction that Solomon's given to his young princes and princesses. You don't have to make the same mistakes everybody else makes. You can have a good life, a good physical life, and better than that, a spiritual life, a good relationship with God. So we in God's church, brethren, we have what this world desperately needs. And with all of our might, we're trying to share it with the world. The world has their brilliant people in their universities. They have their PhDs. They're able to, you know, send a rocket ship to the moon. But the world's problem is that the world lacks wisdom. The world lacks godly wisdom. The Word of God is the foundation of knowledge. That inscription is in stone over at Ambassador College. Last time I was in Pasadena, it was still there. I like to do a pilgrimage whenever I go out to California and see if that is still there. The Word of God is the foundation of knowledge. It's over at Ambassador Hall, right above the south wing entranceway. Mr. Armstrong had it put there. It doesn't come, it's not an exact biblical quote, but it's a paraphrase of even what we're looking at today. So as we look at what Solomon is saying, it talks about wisdom being found, where God's way is known. Wisdom is found. Godly character is found. Brethren, we in God's church do not have any reason to fail, because wisdom is not hidden. Wisdom cries aloud. It lifts up her voice. It's available. It's available to us. You know, there is no Ambassador College today, and yet we have the Scriptures. We have the sermons. We have the opportunity to learn. Wisdom. Again, you know, what is wisdom? What's the definition of wisdom? Wisdom is important in all of our decisions. It is something that should be a part of everything we do. It's insight, having the insight and having the character to apply what God has given us by way of knowledge and understanding. One of the things that we should consciously say to ourselves is, I am going to make the attainment of wisdom my highest priority. I want to work at having wisdom. It's something that we can't say, well, one of these days I'm going to get around to having wisdom. And don't equate wisdom with just people being really smart, like at a university or college. Think of wisdom as being able to utilize the good information that God has for us in the right way, at the right time, by making the right decisions, so that we come out on top. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to have the good things. So wisdom is important in all of our decisions. It doesn't matter what decision we make. You need to make a decision about your finances. We need wisdom. Marriage, health, education, they all take godly wisdom for success. Otherwise, we end up making the same mistakes that the world did. Brethren, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's in Psalm 139. Our minds and our hearts must be programmed with godly wisdom to be psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually sound. God is the one that designed us. God is the one that programs us. You know, when you get a brand new program, it's just as blank as a blank slate. It needs to be programmed. That's the way we are. We were designed by God, and we run best, we work best when we are loaded up with spiritual wisdom, the use of godly wisdom. So the point of verse number one is wisdom is available. Let's avail ourselves of it. Proverbs 8 and verse 2. And we see this again, wisdom personified. If you're just reading this and you don't understand this concept of wisdom being personal, this doesn't make sense. She stands at the top of the high places. Who's she all of a sudden? It's wisdom. We're talking about wisdom. She stands at the top of the high places. By the way, in the places of the paths. You know, notice the word way and path. We use the word highway or the road that we're on. Wisdom stands at the top of the high places. One translation says she takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. What verse 2 is saying to us is that you use wisdom when you have to make life's big decisions. Whenever you come to a crossroads in life, that's when you use wisdom. You know, you don't have to use wisdom a whole lot, you know, fixing supper if you're fixing the same thing you've always fixed before. But if you're about to buy a car, buy a house, or enter a marriage, or you know, switch schools or jobs or something, we want to use godly wisdom. We come to a crossroads. We come to a split in the roads. That's what she's talking about. She stands at the top of the high places. This is when a big decision needs to be made. By the way, you know, by the places of the path. This is a crossroads where a big decision in life needs to be made. You know, in life, we often come to a fork in the road where we have to make a decision. For example, for someone that's thinking about getting married, you know, do I get married to this person or not? Now, that's a time for godly wisdom. We don't just jump off and say, I hope it works, because marriage is for life. You know, when we were young and foolish, We may have chosen a mate by looks, by thinking, is she a fun person? Is she an exciting person? That's not using godly wisdom. But once we attain to godly wisdom, we look at the option of going into marriage or not getting married or who we're going to marry. We look at things like honesty. We look at things like character, dependability. Is she or he respectful, hardworking, forgiving? Do they have godly attributes? You see, we look at things differently when we're the children of God. We apply wisdom. We run into these situations all the time. Do I buy this house or not? Do I take this job or not? Do I do it God's way or not? Well, the answer is yes, we always do it God's way. But again, that's exercising the decision to use godly wisdom. Take a wise stand on God's high moral ground. That would be another way of looking at verse 2. She, wisdom, stands in the top of high places. That means take wisdom, take a wise stand on God's high moral ground. You can see that in verse 2. She stands in the top of the high places. Okay, paths. When it talks about paths in verse 2 or ways, it's talking about our way of life. That's the path that we're on in life. The highway is God's way. We don't go off and do it the world's way. We don't do it like the mafia. We don't do it like a loan shark. We don't do it like people that are steeped in sin. Put this in your notes, brethren. We're not going to turn there. Proverbs 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the number one thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all you're getting. Get wisdom. In other words, use all your resources. Use all your might. Put all your efforts into getting godly wisdom. Some people look at other people and they say, wow, they lead a charmed life. Aren't they lucky? Everything's just coming up roses. Things are going so well for them. Things are going so good. Aren't they lucky? Brethren, you want a life that's charmed. You want a life that goes smooth. Let's do it according to God's way. Let's apply godly wisdom to the decisions that we make. Only godly wisdom has true lasting value. Only godly wisdom has true lasting worth. Do you know that bad decisions are expensive? You're going to pay for bad decisions all of your life. Sometimes a bad decision can even take your life. Many foolish decisions arise out of the fact that people are driven by lust, jealousy, pride, arrogance, ego, competition, greed. Sometimes people make foolish decisions out of hatred for somebody else. Sometimes they make foolish decisions just because they want to be in control, they want to have the power. Foolish decisions arise out of false wisdom. But very, very few people are motivated by the wisdom of God. We have that opportunity. We in God's church can make all of our decisions based on godly wisdom. Brethren, for example, it's never right to do something out of meanness. That's not going to pay godly dividends in the future. It's going to come back to haunt us. It's going to come back to hurt us. We will pay a toll for that. Now, the world that we live in, that doesn't look to godly wisdom when making a decision. Another example, corporate America. Corporate America always chooses the bottom line on their balance sheets. They go down there and they say, which way makes a profit, which way it's going to make money for our company. Every time they'll choose the profit motive over moral and ethical issues or their civic responsibility to society. Right now, in America, America's kind of cleaned up their act when it comes to environmental issues, just a little bit, and pollution and so forth. The rest of the world hasn't. China doesn't buy into that. The Soviet Union, which is gone now, Russia remains, they don't buy into that. They're going to do things for power, for the lust of power, for might, or for money, but not for godly wisdom. Wisdom is the path that is less taken by this evil world. They're not going to choose God's way. When it comes to decision time, we should always ask ourselves, what is the smart thing to do? Now I'll put that in the vernacular of the day. What's the smart thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? What is the godly wisdom that it would take to come up with the right answer? So the smart things to do is not what is smart in this world's eyes, but what is the wise choice in God's eyes? What does God say is going to work? What is the right thing to do? Brethren, how often have you been in a place where you didn't know which choice to make? Making choices, making the right decision is difficult. And so, sometimes we don't know if we're choosing the right answer. There was a poem written almost a century ago that adequately expresses the mental gymnastics that we go through when trying to make a right choice. I'm going to read this poem. It was written in the time of the year, in the fall, when the leaves are golden and yellow and they're falling on the ground. And the title of this poem is The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. It was written in 1915. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry, I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere in the ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. I like that, brethren, because we in God's church, we take the road less traveled by, the one that's in want of more wear. And that's made all the difference for us. You know, in our lives, we come to a split in the road of life where we do have to make decisions. That happens fairly often. In our spiritual lives, however, we are not hampered by indecision. God gives us the answer. That's why. In almost every situation, God tells us the wise answer if we're willing to look for it. It's not a matter of being lucky in life. Proverbs 20, brethren, if you'll turn over to that one. If God tells us the answer in making right decisions. He'll say, choose life. You know, why should you die? Or God will say, keep the commandments, etc. In effect, God's making our decisions for us when he gives us those rules, those instructions, those commands, that advice. Proverbs 20 and verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? How do we know the right decision? How do we know the way, the highway, the road, the path to take? See, we need to be taught. We need to put on godly wisdom. We need to learn to crave true wisdom. We're quite a ways down the road, down the path, down the highway in the church of God. Some people in God's church today are third, fourth generation even. You know, our young people heard it in the church. They heard the truth. But some of them didn't follow it. Proverbs 20 and verse 25. It is a snare to the man who devours that which is holy, and after vows to make equity. See, too many young people, they'll say, you know what, I'm smart. Solomon made the same mistake. You know, he thought he could beat the odds. He thought he could see cause and effect and avoid the pitfalls. It's a snare to the man who devours that which is holy. If we know to do right and we choose the other way, you know, there's going to be a lot to pay for. Across the page in my Bible, Proverbs 21 and verse 2. Every man, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. You see, we can say, oh, you know what? I'm going to make this decision. Looks good to me. Seems good to me. Without applying God's word. God's word is the guide that tells us which choice to make. Now, as we look around, we can say, everybody's doing it. This is going to turn a quick profit. This looks fun and exciting right now. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord ponders the heart. Now, what is the real attitude? Are we trying to live God's way, or are we just trying to get ahead by our own strength? Brethren, for Christians, when we have to make important decisions, how do we go about it? We pray. We meditate. We measure the options against the Word of God. You know, there are a number of things we can do. We can count the cost. If I do it this way, this will happen. If I do it that way, that will happen. What does God say to do in these situations? But after we do all those things, praying, and important decisions, even fast about it, say, God, open my mind, touch my heart, tell me, I'll incline my ear to you. Tell me which decision I should make. You know, should I move over there? Should I stay here? Should I, you know, make this choice or not make this choice? And then listen to what God says. Listen to the advice that comes your way. Measure where the advice is coming from. The Word of God is true. It leads us. And after doing all that, we choose. We make a choice. We make a decision. And we go forward. Now, that's what life is all about. It's not easy. It is difficult. But we can have the assurance that God will show us our way. All things work together to good for those that are in God's church. Let's go over to James chapter 1. Because he talks about making wise decisions. James is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. I'll be turning over there. We're going to see, brethren, that it is not wise to second-guess ourselves after having sought godly wisdom in making the best decision possible. You know, we're not supposed to second-guess ourselves. Look at how James puts it, James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, you don't know what decision to make, let him ask God that gives to all men liberally. All right? And you don't wait until the first time you're going to make a major decision in life, like should I join the military or not, and then say, I'm going to get on my knees and, oh God, show me if I'm should be in the military or not. Yeah, I think I need to go to this war. Okay, I'll do it. Thank you, Lord. No, our minds, our consciences have to be programmed by the entire Word of God. What does God say? What does He teach in His Word? That's where God gives to all men liberally. There are plenty of answers in the Bible. And He upbraids not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith. Faith, what is faith? It's an assurance that we're going to be saved by God. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, we're going to be healed. By the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're going to be reconciled to the Father and live again. That's what faith is about. You know, the whole plan of God. Nothing wavering. So we take the entire Bible and we apply all the principles, all the standards of the Bible to a decision. And we say, you know, this is what God says I'm supposed to do. And we don't talk ourselves out of it. James continues. He says, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. Some people say, well, you know what? It seems like God's blessing those people that follow His way, that try to live according to His commandments. But God just doesn't bless me that way. You know, I wasn't healed instantly. You know, I didn't find a pot of gold at the bottom of the rainbow. God just doesn't work in my life that way. Yes, He does. If we are the children of God, all things are working together for the good for us. There's no equivocation. We can't mitigate, you know, that verse in any way at all. Continuing on in James, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That's the person that's double-minded. Well, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. God says to do this, but I don't know. Brother, that man will not receive anything of the Lord, James says. Here's the way it's supposed to work. When we make the best choice that we can possibly make with all the information, with all the facts, with all the understanding that's available to us at the time, we ask God to bless that decision because we fully, in faith, believe it's according to His will. This is what God wants me to do at this station in life. And we go forward with it. And we don't look back. You know, it's just like our Christian calling, brethren. You know, we're called by God. That's in John 6:44 and John 6:65. You know, God draws us to Him. When we're called to be Christians, we don't look back and say, you know what? Maybe I should have stayed in the world another 10 years before I came into God's church. That's nonsense. We don't look back. In faith, we move forward. We all wonder what would have happened if we had not chosen to follow God's way. Why? Because we know what would happen if we don't follow God's way. We know the answer to that. Luke chapter 9 and verse 61. Luke chapter 9, there's a situation here where a man had a calling. And he had the opportunity to serve, not only as a Christian, but to serve directly with Jesus Christ. He was going to be one of the disciples. All he had to do, I say all he had to do as though it were something small, all he had to do was leave his home and leave his job and, you know, and follow Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said, look, he says, you don't second guess yourself. You weigh what I am presenting to you. You look at the Word of God. You believe that the kingdom of God is coming. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. You make your decision. Are you going to follow me, work with me, be one of my disciples, or are you going to stay in your job? In Luke 9 and verse 61, and another man also said, Lord, I will follow you. I'm looking forward to following you, Lord. This is great. I like what you're holding out for me. But let me first go back and finish up my business. Let me go back and bid everybody farewell, tell them all goodbye, which you're at my house and which at my home. You know, I can't really sign on. I'll catch up with you later, Lord, but I got some things that I want to do in my life before I come with you. And so what we're faced with in Luke 9 and verse 61 is a man who wanted to put his calling off until later. Notice what Jesus tells him in verse 62. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Brethren, we make decisions. We make godly decisions, and we go forward. We're not fit for the kingdom of God if we come back and second guess and say, you know what? I should have never done that because God's word is not true. God's advice wasn't right. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, brethren. In Ephesians chapter 6, we see a verse that I'm tying into this proverb in Proverbs 8 about standing on the high hill, standing on the high ground, the high moral ground, and so forth. In Ephesians 6 and verse 13, you're familiar with this verse, brethren, where it says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand the evil day. You know, we are bolstered, we are shored up, we are fortified by the fact that we have the Word of God saying, this is the way that works, this is the truth of God, this is the only thing that's going to prevail, it's going to withstand in the evil day. So when we do what it says, when we follow the Scriptures, when we follow godly advice, when we do what God says and keep His commandments, continuing on in verse 13, Ephesians 6 and verse 13, and having done all to stand, you know, go forward, take a stand for your beliefs. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7, brethren. Now here's a truism in life. When we come to a fork in the road, when the highway splits, and one goes off to the east and one goes off to the west, we can't go down both roads. We have to take one path. We can't take both. Now, what are we going to do? Are we going to choose the way of the world, or are we going to choose the way of life? Jesus Christ, over and over in the Scriptures, he calls it a path, the path of life, the way of life. And when you say way, think of a highway, the path of life, the road to eternal life. Matthew 7 and verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, narrow is the path, narrow is the highway, which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Brethren, over and over we are told, the many do not choose. It is the path less chosen. It wants for wear. Not many people go this way, as we saw in the point. Because straight, that's S-T-R-A-I-T. That's not straight like an arrow. That's straight like tight, restricted, like a straight jacket. It's binding. It's very tight, is the gate. Narrow. It's very restricted set of rules. God's way is a definite way. Narrow is the way. That's saying, you know, not every choice is okay. Not every choice is a good choice. Some people are like, well, it doesn't matter. Whatever. It's going to work out. Not every choice is okay, which leads to life. There's few that find it. As we saw in the poem a while ago, having perhaps the better claim. God's way has the better claim. It leads to eternal life. It leads to the better resurrection. Wisdom takes her stand on top of the high hill. The high hill. What do you stand for? You know, after we're gone, what will people, what will your children, your relatives say about you? What did you stand for? Oh, you just tossed and turned by every wave and by every wind of doctrine? You know, brethren, we're to be honest. We're not fly-by-night people. We're to be dependable. We're not footloose and fancy-free. What did we stand for? What was our highest calling? You know, there's a motto, be all you can be. That's a good motto. Attain to godly wisdom is what we can do, brethren. Godly wisdom is the most important tool for being all that we can be. Let's continue on. Back where your marker is, Proverbs 8, verse 3. Again, wisdom. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Okay, this is saying that wisdom is available down. And when it says the gates in the scriptures, it's talking about the gates of the city. But that's where business was conducted. It was like the city hall of the day. It was like the courthouse. It's where all the deeds and everything were recorded, where the contracts of major importance were entered into, at the city gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors. That's at the entrance to the city. Wisdom is there. Those people make smart decisions. They make wise decisions. They make the permanent decisions. Proverbs 31. We'll look at some of these places that refer to the gates. It's real common in the scriptures, brethren. You see, those who were older and wiser, the city fathers, the leaders, they taught and they judged the matters there at the gates. These gates had some shades put up so you could have a little protection from the sun and maybe from a little drizzling rain and so forth. And there was high traffic there. There was a lot of news coming and going in the city. You could learn a lot there. Was a lot of information to be had at the gates. Proverbs 31 in verse 23, the Proverbs 31 woman, it talks about her. Her husband is known in the gates. This is not speaking about wisdom when it says her husband here. This is the Proverbs 31 woman. He's known in the gates. He's known for what? His wise decisions. His good common sense. You know, common sense is not common either. When he is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Back to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8 and verse 3 says you get good counsel at the gates where the city fathers were. You don't, brethren, you don't get good counsel everywhere. You don't get good counsel on the school grounds. You don't get good counsel at the tavern or the bordello or at the pool hall or from your beer drinking buddies. You know, you go to the wise men, it says. Proverbs 8 and verse 4. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. So we see in verse 4 that wisdom is for all mankind. When it says, unto you, O men, men there is the Hebrew word ish. That is a special kind of man. It's a man of character. It's a man of stature. It's a man that has a covenant with God. You're familiar with the English nation. Brit-ish. That means covenant man or covenant people. So this ish is a man of character and stature. So wisdom is for them and also the sons of men. That's all mankind, the masses without status. That's because wisdom, it preserves life. It's a covenant with God. Life-giving doctrine is for everybody. Jesus Christ died for the whole world. Joel 2:28 tells us that God's Spirit is going to be poured out on all. God's not willing that any perish. So we see in verse 4 that wisdom profits anybody and everybody that uses it, because the truth of God, the way of God, the commandments of God are spiritual. The eternal, their principles transcend time and space. Anyone who keeps God's commands prospers. You don't have to be in the church of God to prosper. Somebody that's not in God's church that tithes, he's going to reap the spiritual benefits because it's a spiritual principle. But brethren, you know, we're not to stay the same as we always were. That's a false doctrine of this world. Just remain as you are. We're to rise above our mundane roots, or rise above our surroundings. We're to leave our environment and go forward. You know, the young people would say, you know, you're a turkey. You know, how will we ever soar with the eagles if we run with the turkeys? Brethren, we are to become more than just living day to day, watching TV and doing what comes naturally. That's not the way of God. We're to rise above this evil world. We're to make something of ourselves with godly wisdom. That takes study, takes prayer, takes looking into the Word of God. And more than anything else, it takes applying the Word of God. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, brethren, in the world, a lot of times they talk about wisdom. They're talking about smarts, high IQs. He's a wise person. He's got a high IQ. This is not what the Scriptures are talking about. There was a time in the Church of God when an arrogant church ministry looked down on old country folks as being ignorant people out in the sticks, whereas the truth of the matter is they are some of the world's wisest people. We're talking about godly wisdom, living according to God's way. Godly wisdom is humbling. It doesn't puff up. It doesn't make someone arrogant. That's explained pretty well by Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, and this is our calling. We're in the church of God. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So see, God's not calling a whole lot of people with the real high-ranged, high IQs. He's not calling a lot of rocket scientists today. You know, when you and I were called, we did not have much at all of the right kind of godly wisdom. In other words, we were foolish, just like everybody else back then. You know, God calls the foolish of the world. You know, brethren, that it's own purpose that God is not calling the people with the IQs that are approaching 200. You know, if God had called those brilliant people into his church, these people with this great intellect, you know, and they did mighty works, everybody will say, well, I guess so. Look how smart they are. They know all the answers. You know, they know how to get action. They know how to get things done. Most of them, you know, have risen way up high and got friends in Congress and the Senate or whatever. You know, sure, smart people are supposed to get things done. God did it just the opposite. God did it the other way. God is taking, dirt, poor, people from the country, from the sticks, not standing out, you know, with any kind of earthly brilliance when it comes to IQs. And he did that on purpose. Why is it? He says, not many wise men are called. Notice verse 27. God has chosen the foolish things of the world. And that's us, brethren. Now, we're not supposed to stay that way. He's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, confound the people, you know, with the brilliant intellects. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You know, this world is going to say one day, how? And those people, you know, they weren't real sharp. Those people weren't real wealthy. Those people weren't real well placed. They didn't have PhDs and masters and, you know, all of these different degrees behind their name. God is going to turn things upside down to show God's wisdom, that God's wisdom is what works. Verse 28, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. God's dragging the bottom of the barrel, bottom of the creek, you know, to get us. And yea, things which are not, don't amount to anything is what this says, to bring to naught the things that are. We are going to be a part of turning this world upside down. We will reign and rule with Jesus Christ. We who are nothing, because we have learned to apply godly wisdom. All we have to do is plug in the answers. We have to have the character to choose right and the character to do right. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We are to have the humility to say, you know what, I don't have all the answers. It's God in me, the wisdom of God, that helped me to make the right choices. So that's how the wise are going to be confounded. We can't glory. You know, none of it is ours. You know, we're exactly like our next door neighbor, except for the fact that God has given us of his life. He's given us repentance and faith. So it's God that has done the work. Brethren, we don't have to look to the powerful, to the brilliant minds. We don't look to the world. The answers aren't out there. God has the answer. Wisdom is for everybody, the men and the wise men and all the sons of God. Wisdom is within everyone's reach. It's attainable, brethren. It's for us. God says, learn to crave true wisdom. Reach for it. Go for it. Every one of us are lacking in certain areas. There are things that we don't know. And what we don't know, we don't even know that we don't know it. Otherwise, we would probably go in and find out. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. That's in Hosea 4 and verse 6. Brethren, that's when we come to crossroads. When we don't know the answer, we come to crossroads. We have to say, oh God, I do not have the answer. God forces us to do that. So brethren, don't pay the price that comes with a lack of wisdom where God says, I will also reject you. That comes from not accepting the wisdom of God. Let's go back to our text for today. Proverbs 8, we've come to verse 5. Oh, you simple ones, understand wisdom, you fools. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. This word wisdom here is more like prudence. It's more like being shrewd. It's the wisdom that comes from God. Oh, you simple ones. That's us. We're simple. We're the poor of the earth. We're the thoughtless. We were born that way. But again, brethren, let's move on. Let's attain to godly wisdom. Verse 6. Hear. For I, now this is wisdom personified, this is wisdom speaking again. Hear, for I, wisdom, will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. God's word has the excellent things. These excellent things, Sansino translates it as princely utterances. You know, that's the really good things of life. God has the really good things in life. Peace of mind, happiness, joy, the forgiveness that God gives us. Those are the excellent things. Wisdom brings those. But brethren, let's be warned. We are living in Laodicean times. In this Laodicean age, it seems to me that the state of the church, when it comes to making godly decisions, using godly wisdom in our choices, that the church is not that much better off than the world that we see around us. Brethren, we must be a holy people. That means set aside, set apart, a notch above the rest because of godly wisdom. God's people must have and use, using their character, the highest standards of God. We should have godly character. We should be serving one another and drawing closer to one another. When a decision needs to be made, there are two paths. There's a fork in the road. Which one do we choose? Only one of them heads the right way. Godly wisdom will tell us which one goes the right way. Unfortunately, in this end time, we in the Church of God are paralleling this evil world. It's something we need to wake up to, and we need to get back on track, on path, on the highway, on God's right way. This society that's around us is completely off the path. They're off course. This world will lead us astray with the pride of their worldly wisdom. Seems like this is the right thing to do. It's politically correct. Everybody's doing it. It doesn't measure up to the wisdom of God. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. You don't need to turn there, brethren. I'm just going to quote this scripture that talks about in the end time when Daniel is told to shut up the words and seal the book. Many are going to run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Let's not mistake knowledge for godly wisdom. Yes, knowledge is being increased tremendously. You know, right now, brother, today, right now in this century, we live in the midst of that exponential collection of data that's going on throughout the reachable universe. You know, just in our lifetime, we've gone from bits to bytes to kilobytes to megabytes to gigabytes, and now we're starting to talk about terabytes, and after that, they'll have petabytes and exabytes. You know, there's no end to it. Solomon says that in Ecclesiastes 12:12. There is no end to the gathering of data. That's exactly what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12:12. He uses the word a cipher. It means a collection of data. And he says it's a weariness to the flesh. Knowledge is facts, not wisdom. Brethren, put on wisdom. We have to be very careful not to let society dictate our future and allow ourselves to go down the path, the way, the highway of Laodiceanism. Go back and read about Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. They think they have it all together. They're rich and they're increased. You know, they've got all the data. They think they have the zeal, but God tells them they're lacking in zeal too. They think they have gigabytes of things working for them. Brethren, it is not about our wisdom. It's about God's wisdom. We must tap in to God's wisdom. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. See, God's not impressed with that kind of wisdom. Godly wisdom is all about making wise decisions. So, brethren, let's not think that we can ever lie or cheat or break God's perfect law to get ahead. You know, we've had people in God's church say, oh, God, you just turn your head for 5 minutes. Let me handle things. That's foolishness. That's not godly wisdom. Proverbs 8 and verse 7, continuing in our study. For my mouth, that's wisdom, my mouth shall speak truth. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. See, you're not able to lie and get ahead. In today's world, people use that for a tool. Entire nations going to the table of deliberation, you know, to sit down and use diplomatic sources, you know, to come to solution. entire nations are willing to use deceptions and lie today. That's the world we live in, brethren. God's wisdom's not like that. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips, God says. Brethren, we, you and I, aren't ever allowed to violate godly wisdom to get ahead. The principle doesn't work that way. You know, sometimes men foolishly think that God's way is what's holding them back. Wow, if I could only do that. God's word says I can't. But boy, if I did, things would sure work out great. I would accomplish great things. Proverbs 8 and verse 8. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. So God's telling us how to make right decisions. Don't do anything mean or ugly or forward, as it says, froward or perverse in them. This word perverse is an interesting word. Let me pause and tell you about it a little bit. It comes from the word in the Hebrew that means thread. Twisted like a thread. This word perverse is twisted. Today people talk about, well, let me put a different spin on it. You know, not the truth, but a spin on it. So this word perverse has to do with crooked and twisted. If you ever take a piece of thread that's wound up tight and you take the slack off of it, it gets all balled up in a knot. Godly wisdom doesn't get you all balled up in a knot like that, brethren. Put these two in your notes. 1 John 5 and verse 17, it says, all unrighteousness is sin. We don't ever take a shortcut by breaking God's law. And you know this one, brethren, John 8, 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's without exception. Now back to Proverbs 8 and verse 9 now. They are all plain to him that understands, and right to him that finds knowledge. Now, I thought it was interesting, brethren. Two verses before this, it talked about truth. Here in verse 9, it talks about plain. In the beginning of the sermon today, I talked about the plain truth. You know, Herbert W. Armstrong started back, I believe it was 1934, along about there, with Plain Truth. I think that was an inspired name, the Plain Truth magazine. This is the plain truth. Do it this way and prosper. And for a half a century or more, the truth of God was the plain truth. Now, wisdom is not plain to everybody. Have you ever noticed when you're talking to some people, even the mere mention of God, boom, people's minds slam shut like a steel trap. Don't come here with any of that God stuff. They just absolutely eschew godly wisdom. They don't want anything of God to come, into their presence. It just slams shut. That's a terrible thing. You know, even in this world today of Islamic terrorism, those people, recognize a God that they serve. Our nation will not even recognize a God, let alone the true God. It says in Romans 1 and verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold back the truth and unrighteousness. That could be written today. People don't want to hear about God. If somebody says, well, God says we ought to do this, they're going to go the opposite way. They will choose the other path just because God's name is associated with one way, one path, one truth. The wrath of God is revealed. God's going to deal with those people, brethren. A good understanding have all they who do his commandments. God speaks plainly. Just a statistic for your notes, because I was astounded at this. In 1985, we put out 74 million Plain Truth magazines. What an incredible witness to the world. I think that maybe we peaked out that year. That's the year that I saw the statistics. A lot of God's instruction, a lot of plain truth went out to this world. Proverbs 8 and verse 10, receive my instruction. Receive wisdom's instruction. Now notice this in verse 10. Not silver. Receive my knowledge rather than choice gold. It's better than money. It's better than wealth. It's better than anything precious like this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This word receive, it really means to prefer God's wisdom over silver and gold. You know, Paul gave Timothy some good advice along those exact same lines. He says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8, "And having food and clothes, let us be content with that." Verse 9, "But they that will be rich," that's rich with money and wealth, "fall into temptation. They fall into a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." So the answer to life is not more money. Back in the days of Worldwide, just before Worldwide came apart, it seemed like I was working at Pasadena, working in the church office there, headquarters office, they call it. Seems like 90% of the requests that we got was for money, for this, that, and the other. Paul's saying the answer is not money. The answer is godly wisdom. Be content with your food and your clothes. Proverbs 8 and verse 11. "Wisdom is better than rubies." That rubies right here is the expensive red coral jewelry of the Bay of Solomon. "Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it," to wisdom. Don't compare anything to wisdom. Wisdom is so important. With all you're getting, get wisdom. Wisdom is going to take you far in life. It's going to take you further than money or valuables. You know, this day and time, I told you this story once before when I was in Chicago. The young people there, they all wanted to make it to the NBA, National Basketball Association, because if I can make it to the NBA, I'll get a multi-million-dollar contract. Brethren, multi-million-dollar sports contracts are a curse to young people. You know, it's totally out of the reach of, you know, everybody except one in 100,000 or more. It's not with anybody's reach. It gives young people a false hope. Wisdom speaks now. Wisdom personified. Hear the voice of wisdom. That'll take you through life. Not talent, not being able to shoot a hoop or, you know, being a linebacker or something. That works for one out of 100,000, but it doesn't work for mankind. Proverbs 8 and verse 12. "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." Okay, I don't like that translation. Sansino has knowledge of devices, and that's not a whole lot better. It's just this verse 12 is saying, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I understand how things work. I figure out how to attain a desired end." Wisdom helps us make the wise decisions. That's what it's saying. This witty invention is just saying that wisdom can help us to figure out, to make the right decision, to be able to attain a desired end, put sound judgment into our lives. And brethren, we in God's church, our wisdom is higher than the wisdom of this world. We have God's Holy Spirit. We have God's life in us to tell us how to figure out our desired end. And what is our desired end? The kingdom of God, to be in the family of God, you know, to be the children of God with God's Spirit, to be born spirit beings one day, because we are like God. So wisdom goes beyond common sense. Proverbs 8 and verse 13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way, the froward mouth do I hate." So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then he gives some examples, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the froward mouth. Brethren, we in God's church, we hate the sin, not the sinner, because you and I were sinners, except for the grace of God. You know, that's there go I, except for the grace of God, as the saying goes. The only reason that we can understand what sin is. The only reason that we are not sinners anymore by the grace of God and the wisdom of God. So we hate the sin, not the sinner. We pray for the sinner. We try to lead the sinner, give him good advice, encourage him, strengthen him. It takes pride to hate people. Pride is a feeling or a perception that you can get that makes you feel superior in some ways to others. So pride destroys human relationships. So we can see in this verse, the fear of the Lord is to hate pride, to hate evil. Proverbs, verse 11. You know what pride says? Pride says, I am better than other people. And I've seen a lot of it in God's church, brethren. A lot of people think, you know what, I'm better than other people. That is pride speaking. That is not wisdom speaking. The desire for self-exaltation lies at the root of an impressive array of sins. When we exalt ourselves, you know what's going to come of it? Pain and hurt. Damage is going to result. I put this one in your notes, brethren, Proverbs 11 and verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the lowly, again, with the lowly, the poor of this world, with the lowly is wisdom. God says it over and over and over. Don't be prideful. Understand our stature. We are the poor and the weak. God has added his dimension, his spirit, his life, his wisdom. That's God. That's not us. God's given that to us. Now, anytime we start to choose the wrong path, we start to sin, and we know it's wrong, you know what we should say to ourselves? I'm giving up wisdom for this. I'll never attain to the wisdom that I should have for this. Proverbs 8, verse 14. Counsel is mine. This is wisdom speaking. Counsel is mine, wisdom says. And sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Sansino says, power is mine. There's power in wisdom to accomplish things in godly wisdom. That's a good power. That's the right way to get things done. Real character comes from living God's way. Proverbs 8 and verse 15. By me. It's wisdom speaking. Brethren, what you might do in your Bible is go through, and every time you have these I or me's, this wisdom personified, put a little W there. That way when you turn to these verses, you know, out of context, you go, by me, is that Solomon speaking? Is that God speaking? And there's a little W there. It's wisdom. By me, wisdom. Kings reign and princes decree justice. See, a ruler, even a president or a governor, is able to rule correctly if they have wisdom. They reign, they rule in justice, they reign the right way. Do you know that without godly wisdom, we can't rule over anything? We can't rule ourselves. You know, you can't rule your wife, your family, your children, not without godly wisdom. Without godly wisdom, you know what results when we don't have godly wisdom? Destruction, offenses, pain, frustration, stress, hurt, sickness, lack of character development. That comes if we don't have godly wisdom. Proverbs 28 and verse 16 says, the prince that lacks understanding is also a great oppressor. Well, my goodness, we've seen that. Enough, not in our lifetime, but throughout history. You have a Caesar or a Hitler or a czar or a ruler that is lacking in understanding and lacking in wisdom. He is a great oppressor. Proverbs 28:16 says it, but history tells it to us too. It records that many times over. Brethren, there will not be hurt in the kingdom of God. But notice the opposite. This is right across the page, Proverbs 29 and verse 2. It's just the opposite of Proverbs 28:16. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, They're using godly wisdom. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Isn't this the truth? Okay, back to Proverbs 8. Now we're to verse 16. By me, again, this is wisdom. By me, princes rule, nobles, even all the judges of the earth. They rule, brethren, they rule by righteousness. It takes wisdom to make the right decisions. It takes wisdom to rule correctly. Proverbs 20 and verse 28. Mercy and truth. Where do mercy and truth come from? They're a product of right wisdom. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upheld by mercy. See, that's all a part of wisdom. Brethren, you and I, right now, we can't put it off. We need to attain to wisdom right now. God is not going to just create it by fiat. Some people that go to the church of God and they think all I have to do is eat right and dress right and show up on Saturday. They're not building character. They're not learning to make right decisions. They're not learning to stand alone. They're not willing to do the things that God says. God's not going to give wisdom to a person like that just because, oh, he's in my church. He got dunked and baptized. I'm going to have to give him wisdom, give him godly wisdom so that he thinks in godly ways. No, that's why God gave us the Bible, the whole Bible, so we can read it, we can study it, and when it's decision time, we can look in the Scriptures and see if we can find the answer that we're looking for. Then we attain to godly wisdom. We need to attain to godly wisdom now. We're going to need it in the millennium. We're going to need it in the world tomorrow. I just put down in your notes Revelation 5 and verse 10. God has made us, he's made us unto our God kings and priests, and we're going to rule on the earth. But not without wisdom, brethren. And we're to get that now. Okay, back to Proverbs 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me. That's in the Bible. He's talking about, see, this is wisdom speaking. I love them that love me, wisdom says. And those that seek me early shall find me. See, there's a time to get wisdom. That's now, brethren, to attain to wisdom. This word early also has the connotation of earnestly. Really zealously seeking wisdom, working for wisdom. Try it out, brethren. Step out on the thin ice. It's not thin. It's got the foundation of God under. Put godly wisdom to the test. We're not going to grow in wisdom just by hanging around church for the potlucks. That's not where wisdom comes from. Let's attain to true Christianity. Let's be the church of God. The meaning here, brethren, for us today is that wisdom is attainable. It's not too difficult to acquire. Verse 18, Proverbs 8 and verse 18. Riches and honor are with me. That's wisdom speaking. Oh, you get rich and you get honor? Brethren, it's the way of life. Good things happen when we attain to godly wisdom. We're able to do better. But we're going to carry this over into the spiritual application as well. Riches and honor. How about spiritual riches and spiritual honor are with me? Durable. That means enduring riches and righteousness. See, we become like God. Notice how it all goes together. Put this in your notes. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord, that's proper respect and reverence for the Lord, by humility and reverence for the Lord, or riches and honor and life. That's one of my favorite verses, brethren. It just really ties a lot of things together, Proverbs 22 and verse 4. That's what we should desire, the honor of God, not the recognition of men. How is it that wisdom is always with us? What does that mean? How does it stay with us? You know, I'm just automatically going to know the right answer. No, that's not exactly it. What it means is this. Wisdom, making right decisions, learning to make right decisions, putting the Word of God to the test, seeing that it works out, looking back and say, you know what? God gave me the strength through the Spirit to do it the right way. I did it the right way. and my prayers were answered. I didn't see how it was going to work out, and my prayers were answered. It changes our character, and that stays with us. Our character doesn't change. You know, you don't grow in character overnight in a split instant. That's what the Proverbs about the wise and the foolish virgins are about. Go out and buy some character. Go out and get some of God's Holy Spirit at the spur of the moment. You can't do it. It takes a lifetime of work, brethren. So we're to seek it early. I put this one in your notes, Matthew 6 and verse 20, where it says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, you know, where rust and moth and stuff and thieves don't break in to get it. You know, that's the kind of character and wisdom that we're to put on. We've come to Proverbs 8 and verse 19. My fruit is better than gold. That's the fruit that comes from godly wisdom. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. But it's better than money. You know, you can get by in life without money. You can't get by in life without godly wisdom. We're not going to grow in increase in grace and knowledge without godly wisdom. This word fruit that comes, this wisdom's fruit, it's those things that come from godly wisdom. They surpass the worldly riches. Maybe it's hard for somebody in the world to grasp that, brethren, but I hope we grasp it in God's church. You know, the world, I think young men going to Harvard or Yale or something, they say, man, I want to be a CEO, a chief executive officer, or I want to be a CFO, a chief financial officer. You know what, you might end up at the head of a bankrupt organization like WorldCom or something. Those people don't have peace of mind. You know, they're wondering, what's the tax man going to bring? What's going to happen? You know, the divorce rate is high among those people. There's no happiness there. That's because many of those wealthy, powerful people, they lack character. They lack wisdom. Therefore, they're unhappy. They worry continuously about, you know, somebody bumping them off of their perch or losing their money or something. Using true wisdom in our lives brings godly worth and spiritual substance and real happiness because it develops right character in us. James chapter 1, brethren. James chapter 1 in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's a perfect gift. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 8 and verse 20. I wanted to touch on James 1 because you'll see the significance of that in just a second. Proverbs 8 and verse 20. I lead in the way of righteousness. Wisdom leads in the way of righteousness. In the midst of the path of judgment. I lead it could be translated walks firmly. Wisdom is the one that's leading and walking firmly. In the midst of the path. I mean, a better way to say that today would be able to say wisdom is dead on. Wisdom is right on the middle of the path, not off to the edge of the road in the ditches. You know, not going from one extreme to the other. This perfect balance. You know, some people say, look at him, he's all over the map. That's not godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is right on in the midst of the path. But brethren, when you read these proverbs, when you're studying, there's an efficiency of words. In the midst of the path. Read that closely. It reminds me of a cow trail. I've always been amazed that cows, as big and as wide as they are, leave such a narrow and a well-defined little trail. You ever see a cow path across the field? It's no wider than that. You know, just wide enough for their hooves. Big old cows have narrow paths. You learn something from cows, I've been told. Brethren, wisdom is the only complete way to live. Verse 21, that I, wisdom, may cause those that love me Love me. See, love wisdom. Let me just stick the wisdoms in there. Thy wisdom may cause those that love me wisdom to inherit substance, you know, a spiritual substance, a spiritual wealth. And I will fill their treasures. This isn't talking about Fort Knox. This is talking about that one that we saw a while ago, lay up in heaven. Those treasures, treasuries, with heavenly wealth, with spiritual blessings, with substance, with possessions, those things that make life full to the max. God's wisdom can be passed on. It can be taught to others. We should have life full to the brim and running over. It says that in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. And God shall give it unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet it withal, it shall be measured to you again. Luke 6:38 talks about deal with people according to godly wisdom. That it'll come back to you again. Let's go over to the book of James, brethren, in closing. These will be the last verses that we took over, that we look at today. Let's go to James chapter 3. Brethren, God has presented to us a fantastic treasure. It's godly wisdom. The wisdom to make right decisions in life. We make decisions day in and day out, from the time we put the first foot on the floor in the morning till we, you know, turn off the light at night. We make decisions all day. Let's make sure that our decisions are in accordance with God's word, his truth, his law, his precepts, his tenets, his statute, all of God's law. That's where blessings come from. Even now, in this lifetime, we'll have those blessings. And in the world to come, eternal life, brethren. James 3 and verse 13. We're talking about being wise people. Who is a wise person? Who is a wise man? James 3:13. And endued with knowledge among you. I'm talking about spiritual knowledge. Let him show out of a good conversation. Let him show with his good conduct. Let him show by making right, godly decisions. Let him show out of a good conduct his works with meekness of wisdom. Not all puffed up. Just do it that way because God says, this is the way that works, walk you in it. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, we're doing it because we want to be the biggest. We want to be the best. We want to be recognized. We want, you know, to come out ahead of the pack. We want to be the big dog, whatever. If you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not. Do not lie against the truth. That's wisdom, but that's worldly wisdom, he says, verse 15. This wisdom doesn't come down from heaven, doesn't come from above, but it's earthly and sensual and devilish. If there's a second part to this message, brethren, let it be this. Let's have nothing to do with the wisdom of this world. You don't get ahead by racing somebody to the finish line. That's not what you do. You pick someone up and carry them. That's how you get ahead in this life. God says, James 3 and verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Brethren, as we go through our Christian life, let's pause and let's try to help some people. Let's try to help all people, I should say. Some people we won't be able to help because you run into this confusion. You know, they'll just kick and scream and blame and say you're wrong on every single point. They won't listen. They won't be led or whatever. It's a truism that you can't make everybody understand God's way. Everybody's not being called right now, brethren. And that's a decision that's hard to make. We have to be able to discern. Is this person looking to God? Is this person applying godly wisdom to their decisions? Because sometimes we have to just go on and say, you know, this person is bent, the world says hell-bent, on destruction. They're going to do it the wrong way. They will turn their nose up. They'll turn their back on God's way. You know, they'll say, oh, that's your opinion. No, brethren, let's make sure that our opinion is God's opinion, because we have built a life on learning how to make godly decisions by applying godly wisdom to the decisions that we make. Let's continue on here in verse 17 in James 3 and verse 17. Let's talk about godly wisdom. The wisdom that is from above, you'll recognize this, brethren, your heart, your mind, your informed conscience will tell you, this is the way, choose it, walk you in it. This is the right way. This is godly wisdom. The wisdom that is from above, that's godly wisdom, is first pure, then it's peaceable, then it's gentle. You see all the qualifiers? If somebody comes in there fighting, swinging their fist, blaming or something, there's a good chance it's not pure and peaceable. It might not be godly wisdom. It's pure, first of all. Then it's peaceable. Then it's gentle. And then it's easy to be entreated. If you have to go to somebody over and over and over saying, this is the way, walk you in it. This is the way, accept it. And the person in effect says, I'll have none of it. I'll do it my way. That doesn't seem to work for me. It's not easily entreated. Easily entreated. Study that, brethren. Find out what it means to be easily entreated. That means someone accepts the truth of God without kicking and screaming and demanding and coercing. You know, somebody that's easy to be entreated, when you say, you know what God says to do in a situation like this? That person will say, you know what? I just almost knew it all the time. That makes sense. See, God's sense, God's wisdom. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits, good results, without partiality, without hypocrisy, not saying one thing and doing another. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's the way to always do it. Soft answer turns away wrath. Patience always works. Humility always works, brethren. So what have we seen today? In Proverbs 8, verses 1 through 5, we talked about get wisdom. Make it our highest priority. And then verses 6 through 10, Proverbs 8, 6 through 10. We need to listen and heed this plea for wisdom. Don't get tired of hearing it. Don't get tired of doing it. Seek godly wisdom. Use godly wisdom. Use the entire Bible in every decision that we make. And then Proverbs 8, verses 11 through 16. Put godly wisdom ahead of everything else, ahead of wealth, even ahead of security, so that we might learn to rule in the unique way that God rules. That's how God rules. God always uses godly wisdom in everything that he does. And then finally, we saw verses in Proverbs 8, verses 17 through 21. Brethren, godly wisdom in our lives brings us spiritual substance. It brings us real happiness. And why does it do that? Because godly wisdom develops righteous character in us.